Welcome to the Destination Begin podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Smith. I've lost over 250 pounds. I've started my life over multiple times and managed to find humor, lessons, and joy in the process. And now I'm here, sharing those stories with you. Thanks for joining me. It's that time of year when people make lifestyle changes. And I just want to let you know that the Kristen Experience Online, there's a 7-day free trial. So you can hop on there and take a look at all the on-demand videos that I put together on changing your lifestyle. Nutrition, protein, movement, mindset, emotional eating, nutrition. It's all there. And you can just hit play and learn as you go on your own time. If you sign up, it's $79 a month, but you get 7 days to just dig in and steal as much information as you want, and you can cancel on day 6 at midnight. You know, people do that. And that's fine. I want you to go in there and learn and find out how you can change your lifestyle one step at a time with me. There's also a community you can join. You can get challenges by me. You can have accountability and support from all the cool people that call the Kristen Experience home online as their community. Go to thekristenexperience.com, join, and you automatically get a 7-day free trial. Don't wait. You can't lose anything, and you can only gain some insight, some knowledge, some changes, some community, some friends, some support. Need I go on? Go ahead. Go to thekristenexperience.com. Hi. Welcome to the podcast. I'm going to be talking today about an experience that I've had the past few months that I've learned a lot from. And I really feel like there's a lot of gold here that I have mined from my personal experience. And I'm hoping you'll find some nuggets here too, because that's the whole point of this podcast. I'm learning stuff. I'm living through stuff. And then I want to teach it. I want to bring it to you. So it's a little bit of story time with Kristen, but with some really great learning experiences. So some of you know, if you've been listening to the podcast a long time, I run Miami Beach Bootcamp and I have a coaching business. And so basically I work for myself. I'm an entrepreneur. I have these different businesses. And so I haven't had a boss or reported into a traditional job now for 2.5 years. And but I have worked off and on at a spa down the street and as a fitness instructor. And that's basically, I'm their employee, but we're all kind of treated like independent contractors. But I've been working there. I worked there for a year and then I stopped working there. And then I went back 1.5 years ago. And so I teach classes there. And as instructors there, we also have the opportunity to do personal training for members of the spa and residents and things like that. But I've been working there and it's been kind of a bummer in a way because I work weekends there. I work on Saturday, late afternoon, 4 and 5 o'clock, and then I work Sunday mornings. And so Saturday, you know, I can relax a little bit in the middle of the day, and then I always have to leave and go down there. It's a short walk, but go down there, teach a couple classes, and then Sundays after boot camp, I have to rush down there and teach a couple classes. And so it's just kind of a lot. And over the summer, things were really busy. It was really, really hot. And I started to really hate going there. The energy there is really low in the summer because the residents are gone for the season. The hotel usually has kind of low occupancy. A lot of the members aren't coming in. And in general, it's hard to fill up a class at 4 o'clock on a Saturday. I don't know who wants to work out at four. I often say, like, I have no idea why you want to work out at four on a Saturday, but you get all of my respect for having the energy. You guys are the heroes of my life. But I just really started to hate going there. And Roy had worked there for about 6 months. And so when he worked there, he worked at the Cabana Bar outside making all of the drinks and food for the beach. And so when he worked there, it was fun. I could go see him and then go teach my classes. But then when he quit, I was like, man, I want to quit too. But I didn't really feel like I could. I really needed the income. I didn't have a really good reason to quit. It wasn't that much time. They pay very well. But I just kind of wanted to quit. And so I started hating going. And that was my narrative. I hate going there. I don't want to go there. And sometimes I'd get there and there'd be no one for the class. But I couldn't leave. I had to wait for the next class in case someone came. Or What's actually the worst is when one person comes to your class, because you have to give the class for one person and it's a little awkward if you don't know them well. You know, it's group fitness, and so it's just sometimes it's really tough. I do best when I have, you know, four or five people at least, the energy is there. So I just started really hating it. And so I really wanted to quit, but I didn't have peace or clarity that I could quit. But I would think, okay, if I don't go there, I could use that time to build my other lines of business and work on other things. And so the opportunity cost of going there is, you know, actually really high. I'm getting paid, but if I use that time for other things, it would be better. And so I would go back and forth, and I just didn't have peace about it. And there was this one day where I felt like I have to make a decision. It was strange. It was like it was in my face and I couldn't get around it. I needed to decide, am I in or am I out? And, you know, this is a thing with indecision. Indecision steals your energy, the swirl of should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I. And often it will come to a head where we really either just crack and make a decision, or we say, all right, I got to figure this out. And usually there's a reason for it. You know, the universe is trying to get our attention when we come to that feeling of I must decide. And when I know something, I decide and I go for it. Like when I quit my really good job to go all in on everything here, when I made that decision, it was so definitive, I never doubted it. And so unless I feel that strongly about something, I don't like to make a decision, because I want to feel so convinced that no amount of suffering in the future will ever make me say, oh, maybe I made the wrong choice. But I didn't feel that way. I felt really confused. So confusion and indecision, it steals your energy, and it usually comes to a head. And especially when you hate something. Like hating going there stole my energy. I was dreading it all day. I dreaded it while I was there. And most of the time if I went, I didn't, like I would leave saying, why did I dread that so much? It wasn't terrible, but I hated it. And at one point I said to my friend, I'm like, I don't want to hate anything in my life. Life is so short. I don't want to do anything that I hate. And I was kind of lobbying for this idea of I should quit it if I hate it. But I didn't have peace that that's what I was supposed to do. And so this one day I was just, I was consumed with the right or the left decision. There was like a fork in the road in front of my eyes, and I could think of nothing else but should I stay or should I go? And my analytical mind could not figure it out. And this is where I believe the most important thing to do is to stop using your mind and go inside. Now you may say, I go to prayer, I take it to God. I say, I go inside, which means I shut off my analytical mind. I go deep into meditation. I shut my brain off. I leave my body. I leave my name. I leave my identity, and I open my heart and listen. And the God that is inside of me, the God that I am, gives me clarity every time, not just once in a while. And so I decided to do a walking meditation. Walking meditations for me are very powerful because your blood is flowing, you're moving, you have your eyes open, you're sort of kind of gazing off into the distance, but it's very empowering. And I wanted to make a decision. So I go into this walking meditation, and this one that I just chose randomly is really powerful. Basically, it goes like this. You connect with, who are you? Who are you? So you aren't like, should I, shouldn't I? You set all of the questions away and you go back to who you are. Who are you? So as I'm walking in this meditation, I am love, and I am redeemed, and I'm forgiven, and I am transformed, and I am everything God dreamed of. And this is just flowing through me, and I'm feeling so, so connected to God. And then the next question, who do I want to be? What's that vision of the future? It's like, well, I go to the same thing. Every time that question is asked of my soul, I get the same answer. I want to show people who they are. I want to defy their excuses. I want to say, you are capable of great things because there is greatness in you. I want to say, look what I have done, not because I'm greater than you, but because I am made of the same wonderful power that you are. So if I can, that means you can. I want to be in front of as many people as I can to get that message through their eyes and into their heart. And so as I'm walking, saying, who do I want to be? I want to be a life changer. I want to transform. I want to be a mirror for change. I want to be a motivator. I want to inspire. And then, okay, walk as if that future is here. Walk as if you are changing lives, if you have changed lives. So then I'm walking, just imagining the number of people that I, massive numbers of people who have gone forth and conquered their problems, their challenges, their goals, and I had a role in it. And that power, that joy, and I'm dancing down the boardwalk with joy of saying, I have the opportunity to be a part of someone going for what they want and getting it. And I was so overjoyed. And I embraced that reality. And then my answer was clear. What do you care where you go and punch a clock? Bring this everywhere you go. Bring it to the beach. Bring it to your friends. Bring it into that spa. Bring it into a class that's empty. Bring it into a class with one person. What do you care where you are or who's listening? If this is what you want to do, you can do it right now, everywhere that you are. And it was this clear feeling. I mean, those are the words I can assign to the feeling, but it was a clear feeling of you don't need to do anything. You don't have to quit. You don't have to make a decision. You go there. You're supposed to be there at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock on Saturday. You show up and you bring everything you have. It's an opportunity to shine a light, to be a mirror, to motivate, to say, look what you can do. And it was clear. It was like, all right, I'm going. I'm going to work. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be everything that I want to be in the future today in those classrooms with those people, whether it's one person or zero people. And so it was great. I set the question down. No longer was I wondering, should I quit? It's like, well, no, I'm not quitting. I'm definitely not quitting. But now here's the thing. That was a lovely meditation experience. And then life goes on. So my next time I needed to go there to work, I didn't just automatically love it because I had programmed my mind all the way there to say, I hate this. I hate this. I wish I didn't have to go. This is going to suck. So what did I have to do? What's my job in that situation? What do I have control over? I have control over my thoughts. And just like I had programmed my mind to hate walking there, I had to program my mind to love it. So what did I do? I told myself I loved it. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to go. I wrote my workouts with more vigor. I imagined who might be there. I imagined what I was going to say. I had it all mapped out. I brought my best energy. I smiled all the way there. I smiled when I punched the clock. I started saying hello to every single person that I met, the security guards, the people in the elevators, people walking, hello, hi, hi, hi. Just, I'm bringing all my sunshine. Who cares if I get paid or not? Who cares if I see anybody or not? This is an opportunity for me to be on this property and bring my heart and soul. And if that's what I really want, then there you go. So I walked in with as much energy and pep in my step. I started having fun. And guess what? I started to fall in love with my classes. I started to have fun. I let my personality out. I had better classes. I had better energy. I had inspiring things to say. If no one came, I'd still dance in the classroom a little bit in the mirror, and then I'd get some work done and say, this is so great. I have some free time. I can get some work done. Nothing on that property changed. Nothing changed. Nobody there did anything differently. My class names didn't change. Still had just a few people here or there during the summer. But my entire experience changed because I changed. I changed my intention. I changed my attitude. Therefore, my feelings about it changed. And the experience for me changed. And I started to have so much fun. So much so that I'm like, you know what? I want to be here more. So one of my friends was going out on maternity leave. So I threw my hat in. I sent a message to my boss and said, hey, I live really close. I teach some of the same formats. I'd love to cover some of her classes during maternity leave. And there was quite a few. She taught quite a few classes. And at the same time, there was somebody else that was kind of on their way out. And she also taught some of the same formats. So I'm like, I sent a message. I got no response. I sent another message. I got no response. People started asking me, hey, are you going to cover for Sarah when she's gone? I'm like, I don't know. I threw my hat in the ring and I'm hoping so. I would love to be here more in the mornings. The energy in the morning is so great. So eventually, like right when she went on maternity leave, I got asked to teach one of the classes. I was like, one? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to come to the property for one class and leave, but that was the decision. And I was really bummed about it. But, and people kept asking me, are you going to cover more classes? Are you going to teach more classes? The residents had started to fall in love with my classes and with me and were asking for more classes with me. And it's not my decision. And so they said, we're going to talk to your boss. So they'd come back to me and say, hey, I put in a good word for you. I told your boss that we want more classes with you. And, you know, one by one by one, six or seven people. Oh my gosh, I loved your class. I went and talked to your boss and I told him, you know, I put in a word for you. And they're all very confident that their opinion is going to change something. But it didn't. I didn't get any more classes. I asked for more classes. I leveled with my boss. I said, hey, you know, I am struggling with my budget. It's really tough. I'm making decisions about what I'm going to do. And I would really love the opportunity to teach more classes. No response. Not even a thumbs up, not a no, not a yes, nothing. Just completely ignored. I thought, well, it's nothing I can do. I'm doing everything that I can. I'm going to keep showing up. But it became very clear to me that my boss did not like me or had some issue with me or I had done something. I don't know. But I started to notice I couldn't get responses from her. When I'd be on property, I'd walk in and an hour later there'd be a message to the entire team telling all of us that we couldn't do something. And it was usually something that I had just done. For example, I wore a workout shirt that was kind of off the shoulder. It was a loose, flowy, like, sweatshirt thing over my sports bra teaching. Half an hour later, attention all instructors, you are not allowed to wear off-the-shoulder shirts. I'm like, okay, that was me. You know, she didn't say, hey, Kristen, that shirt doesn't really, it's not appropriate. She didn't say that. She just blasted everybody. Then my name tag was on crooked one day. All instructors, your name tag needs to be present and needs to be visible and straight all the time. Okay, that was me. So I started noticing every time I saw her, she would find something to put me on blast for in the group chat. So I wasn't imagining it. And I thought, well, I don't know what it was. This is about the same time that my friend had also decided, hey, we're not going to be friends and didn't tell me why. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm clearly doing things that is bothering people. And the only thing I can do is fix it. So I straightened my name tag seven times to make sure it was straight. I stopped wearing that shirt. When I got put on blast for the color of my clothes, I stopped wearing that color. I just started towing the line. And this was one of the hardest things I've had to do in a long time because I haven't had to report to anybody in a long time. I run my businesses myself. I don't have to punch a time clock except there. And when I did have a job, I worked for people who trusted me. I worked for professionals. I was treated like a responsible professional. I didn't have a dress code. I wasn't talked down to. I wasn't treated like a child. And here I am, a 45-year-old woman being talked down to, not just me, the whole staff, and having to toe a line and be micromanaged and basically managed poorly by someone in authority. And I didn't like it because who does, right? But what am I supposed to do? Walk in there and behave like I deserve to be treated perfectly when I know everybody is being treated not great? Do I stand up and say, you know, this is ridiculous and call my boss out when, you know, a lot of people might say you have every reason to? No, my job was to take it and to let my ego die and suffer. And I haven't done this perfectly. I've complained. I've noticed the injustice. I've come home and told Roy, do you know what else happened? And you know what? At the end of the day, my name tag was crooked. Apparently, you aren't supposed to wear an off-the-shoulder shirt. There were days that I showed up a few minutes late to my class. There were days I forgot to punch out. All these things, minimal little things that don't necessarily matter, but did I screw up in those little tiny ways? Yes, I did. And until I am 100% perfect, I have to accept that I have to have correction. And it has really been hard for me. But all I can do, okay, so sorry, I will fix it. And I fixed it. I fixed every little thing. And I've shown up with a big old grin, and I've shown up with a positive attitude. And do you know what has happened? Other people, people that also have power, have noticed. And so there was a member who needed a personal trainer every single day in December. That's really good money. That's a really good gig. It was offered to me. I got to train that person. That person and I have had the best time. I've gotten to see her almost every day. She's taught me so much. She's an entrepreneur. She's so inspiring. I'm inspiring to her. I've gotten to spend so much time with her and get paid for it because I got that opportunity. And if I hadn't shown up as my best self, I wouldn't have gotten that opportunity. So while I've been taking care of my attitude and my behaviors, the situation has changed. My boss apparently doesn't like me and is not going to give me more opportunity. But there are people there who have given me opportunity, really great ones. I didn't have to fight a battle. I didn't have to call anybody out. I didn't have to punish anyone. I didn't have to go to HR. I've simply tried to bite my tongue and follow the rules. And guess what? My experience has changed because I have changed me. Now, again, I have not done this perfectly. I've not kept this whole thing in sight the whole time, but I've fought really hard to do so. And it's remarkable how when we change our thoughts and we change our attitudes, how our situations change. So December, very good month for me at the spa. Great classes, great experiences. All of a sudden, my classes started to get full because people are coming back for season. And then I start hearing things like, I didn't want to work out, but I found out it was you. I couldn't wait to come. And then I started subbing for other instructors as they were out of town. So they say, oh, I've never come to this class before, and I've always wanted to try it. And then I saw you were teaching it, so I couldn't wait. And so all of a sudden, I'm getting these people that want to come and take classes for me, which feels so good. And then I get to light them up. And so I'm getting so much joy and I'm having so much fun and I'm building a reputation there for doing what I want to do, which is to motivate and inspire and to lead and to make people feel good about who they are and to make them forget their exercising and instead enjoy the experience. So I get to do what I love and these people are making it so much more joyful. So phenomenal. So then fast forward to the holiday season a little bit, and one of our instructors in our group chat said, hey, we should put together a collection of some money and let's get a gift for the four women who are our fitness attendants. So we instructors, we buzz in to the spa and we have these four assistants or attendants, they set up the class for us. So if I show up to teach a tread and shed class, they've got all of the dumbbells out for the clients. Or if you have a boot camp class, they've got the wagon with all the weights and everything there. They wait on us hand and foot. They serve us. They are amazing. They make all of our jobs easy. They make all of us look good. If we're late, they cover for us. If somebody has an issue, they are the first line. They're amazing. So everyone's like, yeah, this is a great idea. And I said, hey, I'd be happy to collect it. Have everybody send it to me and then I will get cards and we'll get like crisp money and whatever. So as we're having this conversation, my boss is piping in and she's basically poo-pooing everything that I say with a better suggestion. And so I just said, oh, great idea. Do you have an idea how to make that work? Like we had four of these attendants. And I said, I'll sign everyone's name to the card. And she said, I would think everybody would want to sign it. I said, well, if you can think of a way that we can secretly circulate four cards without any of them seeing it, I think we should do that. Crickets, no response. But it just kept happening and I just ignored it. And I thought, you know what? I remember this lesson that I learned when I was in church. There's a Bible verse that talks about when you're kind to your enemies, it's like heaping coals of fire on their head, which basically is like karma. If you're nice to someone that hates you, it makes them feel like crap. I don't like that. I don't really think that's what it's supposed to say. People think so. But somebody said it, and I forget who it was. Somebody said it way better, where they said, if you have a problem with somebody and you have a hard time loving them, the surest way to fall in love with someone is to invest treasure in them. And so that means giving them something, giving them a compliment, doing something kind for them. Well, I hadn't been able to think of anything kind to do for my boss. It actually hadn't occurred to me, but I thought, ooh, it's the holidays. So I put together a group chat with all of the instructors and I said, hey, if you guys all want to put in $5 or $10, we could give our boss a gift from all of us. And I found this cute coffee mug online. It's like, it said something like, you know, coordinator of chaos, solving problems like a superhero. We can put it in this mug. I'd be happy to collect it and do it. And so everyone was all excited about it. So I started collecting money to give our boss, this person who does not like me, a gift. And as I did this, I started to hear from a few of the people who I didn't know very well say, oh, hey, Kristen, can I send this money to you tomorrow? I don't want to miss out. She saved my life, or she changed my life, or I owe her so much. And I started to hear these stories about our boss that I would never have known otherwise, that she had gone out on a limb to get some of these people jobs. She had spoken up for them when they needed defending. She had given them opportunity that they otherwise wouldn't have had, and they owed her a debt of gratitude. So here's a person who's just annoying me, right? She's not hurting me. She's annoying me because she doesn't like me and she's busting my balls. But who cares? She can do that to me all day long. If she's busy with the rest of her time making other people's lives better, I can take it. I got big shoulders. It was like, put it all in perspective for me. And so we collected about $300 amongst us instructors and put it in a card. And I did circulate a card, so all kinds of people wrote in it beautiful things. And then with this mug, gave it to her. And what it did is it changed me. She has no idea who organized that. She's never going to find out it was me. I didn't do it to get on her good side. I did it to change me. Because now when I look at her and I still don't appreciate how she manages. I don't respect how she manages. I think she's got a lot of things to learn about managing. None of that changes. My opinion of her management style isn't changed. But my view of her heart and soul is radically different. She is beautiful. I have found the God inside of her. I've seen the God inside of her. I see that her heart and soul are just as beautiful as mine and yours and everyone else's. And her behaviors, I don't have to like those. But I see her heart. I got to see her heart because I was willing to invest treasure in her. And I am changed and I am happier. I don't have to waste energy not liking her and ruminating about how mean she was to me or how ridiculous it is. It no longer matters when I think about her. Am I going to be friends with her and go to coffee? I don't really think so. But I'm so excited that I have seen her heart, because now I more fully believe that we are all perfectly beautiful and full of God and full of light, even if how we show up isn't delightful to some people. So I got to see it. My job is better. My experience there is better. My relationship with my coworkers there is better. My relationship with the people that I serve there is better. And all because of this experience of choosing to change me. Now, I'm not telling you this because I want you to think I'm amazing. I'm telling you this because this is possible for all of us. It is hard. This has been hard for me. I have had to work at it. And I have gotten it wrong many times, and I have fallen on my face, and I'm embarrassed at some of the things that I've said about the situation. But changing me changes the situation. When you change your thoughts, you really can change your life, and you can then change your perception of others. You can change your experience with others, and other people get to experience you better. That's how we change our lives. I have no control over that property or my bosses or anything. None. I am supposed to show up and teach my classes, and that's it. And I was showing up and doing the bare minimum and hating all of it. But now I think about that place as an exciting, awesome place to be. I can't wait to go teach my classes. I can't wait to see who's going to be there. The whole experience is transformed. Because I controlled what I could control and it changed it. So that's the story. The moral of the story, the takeaway, don't waste your time in indecision. Find a solution, go inside to find it. The answer is inside of you. Your ego is going to block it. Your ego does not want you to let it die. Your ego's going to fight, but your ego is of no use to you. My ego kept me angry and hating my job and resentful of my boss, which stole my energy, which dimmed my light, which limited how many people I could impact. When that died, my heart brought me joy and fun and glee and the ability to impact people and fulfill my mission. And when I went inside and found it and then took the action to change my thoughts and my behaviors, now the whole experience is different. So go inside and find your answer. Hating things steals your energy. Life is short. If you don't want to hate anything, doesn't mean you have to get rid of it. You can just stop hating it. Easy for you to say, Kristen. Is it? I just told you it wasn't easy for me, but it's possible. And when you invest treasure in other people, it changes you. So is there somebody that you don't like? Is there someone that totally busts your balls? Is there somebody that makes your life miserable? You don't have to invite them over for coffee. But if you can find a way to invest treasure in them, if you can find out a way to see their humanity, get their story, find out what makes them tick, look for the God in them. It is there. I promise you, it is there. It's in all of us. If you look for it, you will find it. Now, yesterday we had a team meeting where my boss was for 90 minutes leading a team meeting. And it was a very, very difficult meeting to sit through. It's not how I would have run a meeting. It's not how I would have spoken to people. It's certainly not how I would have spoken to people that I wanted to rally into unified teamwork. But by sitting there and understanding that this is a human being that has a heart and a soul, and God is just as much a part of her as me, I was able to walk away and not let it ruin me, not let it tank me, but to say, how can I bring joy to this situation? It took me a little bit. I had to leave and come home and exhale. And then I went in the group chat, and then I threw some joy and gratitude and thanksgiving into the team. That's my contribution. It's changed me. It's what's possible. So invest treasure in people that frustrate you. It's like heaping coals of fire on their head. That's what this says in the Bible. But really, it's like heaping barrels of joy on you. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you want to interact with me, go ahead and send me an email, Kristen@KristensmithOnline.com. Follow me on Instagram, The Kristen Experience, and make sure you share this podcast with a friend. That's all I have for you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time here on Destination Begin.